I'm Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films. Hey, heads up if you live in Olympia, Washington, because Rhea Butcher and I will be at Evergreen State College, I believe is the full name for your very cool university, on April 16th, the day this show comes out. And I think it's open to the public. Just sneak in. Say you go to school there. Also, I will be performing in Vegas at the Venetian on April 25th. I don't know if we got any vagueness. I don't know if we've got any vagueness or Vegas listeners, but we hope to see you there. I'm talking to you, Britney Spears. We'll be back with a full show and more after this. More than the full show. Hey, enjoy the rest of this show starting now. Here are our guest panelists. I'm clearly on point tonight. I had a bunch of peanuts in the car, and I think all my blood is in my peanut belly.
Weird.
That sounds disgusting.
A weird thing to say.
It sounds disgusting.
No, I'm nailing the shit out of hosting this
show. You're riding that peanut horse
the
right now.
Lady James Dean Rhea Butcher
has
your
me.
Peanut belly.
My peanut belly is fine. It is just fine and non-existent.
Oh, man.
I didn't have any peanuts on the way over.
Ricky, yeah. Carmona, the Coco Palau, how's your peanut belly?
Oh, roasted, shelled, salted, con sal.
Hey, we were just talking about baseball before we started doing this podcast, and you know what's my favorite thing about baseball games?
Peanuts.
Not the baseball,
the
but
peanuts.
Definitely nibbling on a shell.
Oh, the best.
And then spit that out and then eat what's in there.
You eat you eat shell and peanuts?
You put the peanut shell in your mouth?
I'll slam it and I'll bite it in half with my mouth. Like this.
I enjoy the whole process of it, cracking it open, getting them out of there.
You've never cracked a peanut with your teeth?
No.
I have. Don't like it.
Because then you get all that crap in your mouth.
But it's so salty on the outside.
Call me crazy, but I have never understood why you would want peanuts in a shell like that, and the shell is salted. It's a complete waste of salt.
Because you're supposed to put it in your mouth, crazy.
No, you're not. It's like...
No, I never thought about that. You're blowing my mind right
and
now.
And so I would make the same argument for sunflower seeds. What the hell? It requires so much work to get the tiniest, tiniest payoff, and all the crap is on the outside.
Yeah. But it's
but there's
like...
a joy.
There
but
I are
get that
people.
Prize.
I'm not a bird.
Who like to
I can't
work.
Split those things open that quickly.
I think when... flavored shells I don't like. I think that's ridiculous.
Like
barbecue,
dill,
sunflower
pickle?
Seeds
Come on.
And all that nonsense. Yeah. None of that. Wasabi's good, though.
I'm sure
throw
it probably
some,
is.
Throw some wasabi
just
on
just give me some Big League Chew and get out of my face.
Wasabi,
I don't
want to
get on your face. I want to offer you one of these nice peanuts in
well,
the
I'm
shell.
I'm not going to put it in my mouth like that.
What about orange peanuts, the candy?
You know.
Where the gummy.
Do you mean
circus
peanuts?
Circus peanuts.
I
there
hate
you go.
Those things.
Really?
Do you like those things? Well, I am against all kinds of candy that isn't chocolate.
Okay.
Here,
right.
Let me name them. Skittles. Fuck you.
Really?
Mambas.
Wow.
You went from Skittles to Mambas?
Yeah,
there's so many steps
no lifesavers.
In there.
Mambas. Twizzlers are okay. Twizzlers are decent.
Right, okay. All right.
There's also this chewy.
Laffy Taffy.
Charleston Chews?
No.
Charleston Chews are good.
Terrible.
No, they're
awful.
Also them.
An abomination of candy.
Starburst-like candy in the 80s. Oh, Bonkers.
Bonkers
were good. Do you remember Bonkos? Bonkers?
Bonkers.
We're bonkers.
Laffy
gross.
Taffy?
I don't
no
want
Laffy
it.
Laffy Taffy?
She
Throw
doesn't
it away.
Even like Smarties
so
or
sick.
Sweet Tarts.
What? No, wait.
She's out
no.
of her mind.
I'm sorry. There's no way
on?
That you're responding to my not liking Smarties with a what, right?
Smarties are delicious.
Thank you,
They're like
Ricky.
A standard.
You guys are the only... Nobody likes Smarties.
Yeah, you do.
Everybody likes Smarties.
Absolutely.
That's garbage candy that was fed to us as a lie.
No. You were getting... I don't know. Were you getting the right Smarties?
What a waste.
Smarties
of
are gross.
Your childhood.
No, you know
delicious.
What I
like
do
Smarties.
When I get a Pez dispenser, first thing I do, throw away the Pez.
What?
That's terrible.
I mean, I throw
away the orange,
how
but...
How dare you?
You guys are ridiculous.
Keep that strawberry. Have you ever noticed, though, Ricky, that the Pez candy, like, smells awful? Like
I have not
like,
noticed
Like, incredibly
that.
Bad. Like, it has a weird after smell.
Do you know why it smells so bad?
Because it's disgusting
because
candy?
Because it tastes
it
bad.
It tastes no. also.
It is
terrible, but I also eat it.
It's a bad candy.
It's delicious candy.
No, you guys
it's
are...
It's been so
Pez
long since I've had Pez.
Candy,
I don't
but...
remember the taste. I remember the sound it makes.
Sure, yeah.
Why have we been doing an action and sci-fi movie podcast this whole time?
Yeah, clearly.
When we could just be doing a yelling show about candy. You guys are wrong.
It is so relevant.
You are wrong, wrong, wrong.
So right.
You are wrong. You know what else is disgusting? Candy corn. Gross.
Oh, now I know I am in the minority on this, but I will, man, I look
forward
to.
But which ones, Ricky?
Candy corn.
What? Do you like all flavors?
I prefer the traditional.
With no chocolate.
With no chocolate.
Whoa.
Every once in a while, I'll be like, Ricky, let's get crazy tonight.
Have that chocolate.
And I'll have that chocolate. But overall, I mean, by the handful.
You guys
like
the little bats?
I've never had a little bat.
You know, I don't think I've had the bat.
Well, I like
the pumpkins. Come in bat.
Yeah, they come in bat. You know what? I have to point out also, I was playing baseball the other day.
And speaking of bats.
There was.
What was your record that day?
There was an ice cream truck. And at this ice cream truck, they had three varieties of bomb pops.
Really?
Which blew my mind.
Also,
pun
I can't
intended.
Believe you got a bomb pop.
Why?
Because you told me that there was SpongeBob ice cream. And what other kind?
There was a SpongeBob, there was a Spider-Man, and there was a Sonic the Hedgehogman. And I'm not going to have either of those. They're too new. I grew up with Spider-Man and Sonic the Hedgehog.
You're not going to have ice cream on a stick because it's too new.
New, yes. I wanted to go traditional with a bomb pop.
Tradition.
And I have to say it was an even better bomb pop because it was like a sherbet. A little bit. It
you
wasn't
guys,
just an
is,
icy thing.
I don't want to talk about
but
this anymore.
But what I'm saying is they had a fudge one with banana.
That sounds good.
It can't be a bomb pop anymore. It's just three flavors. That's not a bomb pop. A bomb pop is red, white, and blue.
I mean, I don't know.
They had
sounds,
a banana one?
Yeah, it was
what
banana,
was
fudge,
color?
And fudge, I think.
I don't like that
oh,
at all.
Banana,
and then
two
the other
fudges,
one was Sour Patch Kids bomb pop.
I don't
pop.
Like that either.
Rhea.
Some things should not be messed
well,
with.
Well, I can't wait to see how many people tweet us about that.
that Do you remember when
wrong
we got
Cameron
into
is?
A big fight about the Mickey ice cream and what it looked like?
What was
like?
The fight?
It was
where
whether or not
the
he had chocolate
were?
Ears.
What?
I thought they were blue. No.
Okay, well, maybe we'll
be
back.
Whoopsie daisy.
Let's move on to some news. You guys... Initial television news that kind of relates to us. Fox is rebooting Rocky Horror. Do you know this?
The musical?
That's right.
Because there's different
no, the
ones.
No, the webinar.
The reason that...
The TED Talk? The TED Talk?
The reason it relates to us is because, as you know, they're actually aliens.
Clearly.
Spoiler alert.
Clearly.
Oh, did I?
I'm kidding.
Did I spoil Rocky Horror
I'm
Picture
just,
Show?
Come on, it was more of a fun spoiler alert.
Yes.
Is it going to be like a one night event type thing?
I think
so. Is it going
to
be a TV show?
Yeah,
oh,
like
I think
a live.
I think it's going to be one of those one of them things.
I have to tell you, I don't like Rocky Horror Picture
Thank
Show.
Thank you.
Now
say that shit, girl. Say that shit.
Oh, why don't you go eat your disgusting candy and watch
a
terrible movie instead
I
of
will.
A movie that changed
While
the world?
Not doing the time warp.
I also
you're not doing the time warp.
Value what it has done for pop culture and for the people that love it.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Do you
multiple times, and it has not stuck.
I know that both of you. I know how both of you feel about Susan Sarandon.
Of course.
Why are you trying to front with me?
It's just that the whole thing, number one, I don't like musicals. So there we go.
What is wrong
two
with
times.
You guys?
Number two.
Ditto.
Musicals
are
about
great.
It makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I can't quite put my finger
oh,
on it.
Oh, probably you're a homophobe.
And that is the, yeah, I'm a huge homophobe.
Because this is
no,
very...
but that's probably actually it. You are probably correct. You're... It is probably my internalized homophobia that I'm like, what is this?
I am not a homophobe at all. And I think Tim Curry is wonderful.
It's not Tim Curry that bothers me.
What part of
Rocky
it?
Bothers me? Something about I don't like it. I don't like how naked people are all the time in the movie. Plus,
you have a problem with
I
nudity.
I do not.
Susan Sarandon naked
that
in
that movie. She's
in like
underwear,
in undies,
and I just do not want to hear. Time warp ever again.
It's weird to me that you guys don't like musicals, but that you like action movies. Because I'm going to say something that I think is very true, probably not oft said. I think it's the same part of the brain that loves these things.
I don't disagree.
They're us ramped up to the nth degree, where it's like a perfect human would be able to drive a car between three buildings, and a perfect human would be so overwhelmed with emotion about warping in time that they would have to break into a song. I do not like the television show Glee every other musical, give it to me.
I mean, I love Empire.
Yeah,
and Empire's the songs don't even bother me.
What's your favorite action musical?
My favorite action musical? Action God, musical. I wish I had something to say
story?
Just then.
Ooh, that's not a bad one.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
There's a lot of action.
There's some
in
tanks in there.
Are there really tanks in it? I've never seen
yeah.
Jesus. Really?
Mm-hmm. It was made at a very specific time called the 70s.
Ooh, a lot of tanks. That sounds like a lot of Vietnam.
There's
Vietnam
some,
residue.
There's some stuff going on
right
on,
there.
Huh?
Okay.
For sure. Also, speaking of things that I love, The Incredibles is getting a sequel. It will
finally
be by Brad Bird, who made the first one, so nobody has to stress out. Although, like, so you're a finally on that one, Rhea?
Yeah, absolutely, I'm a finally on that one.
I mean, it
Rhea?
Is wild though that now it's think back to our childhoods. These movies that did so well, like Disney movies, for instance, animated movies for kids. They made one of them. Like, there's no, like, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, but that's...
The second Beasting or something.
No,
the
but...
Beast
I'll get
is
turned.
Back.
Yeah, the Beast is back.
I'm going to correct you on that one, though.
What?
Because in our childhood...
102 Dalmatians?
Yeah, they started
Snow
making
White
direct...
Snow White and the Eight Dwarves.
Direct-to-video and direct-to-DVD stuff.
Mm.
Because
you're
there
right.
was,
there
like,
were,
a Beauty and the
like
Beast...
There's, like, 27
There's, like, Return
times.
Of Jafar and
True
stuff
that.
Like that.
You're
True
right.
That.
You,
How many American tales are there?
God, you're right.
So many tales.
Ah, oh, shoot.
Cameron, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, I just thought I had a point, but I was
God,
wrong.
I wish I knew off the top of my head what the first movie to have a sequel was.
Like the first movie ever?
Like the first movie ever to have a second part.
Mm.
Well, I think it was The Tramp 2. Tramping again.
Tramping it up.
All tramped up.
Yeah, tramped.
And then The Tramp 3.
Stamped.
Third time's The Tramp.
Yep, I think that's what it was. Also, do you guys know anything about the Suicide Squad?
Is there
wait, my improv
casting?
Coach from IO just got announced in the cast.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
Wait,
there's
what?
A local guy.
Oh, is that right? Is that
well,
what you're going to
No,
talk about?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, that's fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the dopest.
Ike Barinholtz, who is a Chicago dude,
yeah.
got added to the cast, which is wild
that's
because
insane.
There's like a cast photo where it's like Will Smith. And then Ike Barinholtz.
The second time I looked at the pic, that was the exact. I was like, he's in that motherfucker. Will Smith. Will Smith is right there.
I didn't
great.
Even know anything about like the property, though. It's
right.
all it's all new to me. So, I mean, I'm actually
so,
excited
and, like,
about it. It sounds
so
exciting.
Jared Leto gets you excited?
No, I don't.
The Joker?
I think he's going to be fine. because he's very unlikable.
But that's the problem. The Joker... is very likable.
So, when? From what?
He's everything.
Like, Jack
he's like
Nicholson?
Bad, he's like bad guy likable.
Every time you know? The Joker's in anything, why does everybody talk about the Joker all the time? He is the bad guy.
Yeah. Well,
name a bad guy.
Because
the Joker. There you go. He's the best bad
quick.
Guy.
Who do you talk to that asks, that says
myself
that
in
to
the
you
mirror.
So confrontationally?
Name a bad guy. The Joker. All right.
Leave her, she's good.
It was somebody with a clipboard.
Also, I'm looking at my phone, which we have rules against in the booth, because I remembered that on the way here, I asked Rhea to text me something, because this is just news from today, which is that Michelle McLaren has dropped out of directing Wonder Woman.
Boo.
So, I was excited about a female director on that particular movie.
She would have been the first, like, major... You know, tent pole.
It would have been a huge step for female directors. It
I'm
legitimately
worried, it
would.
Makes me worried about the property now. If because that's like a big deal for that director also. You know, because she's been working on big TV properties and getting really good feedback. Then got this movie, and now she's leaving that movie. And I feel like, when people leave a movie, it's because they don't like the movie.
You or, know, the process,
they, or the
process, yeah.
Or everything around it. So, like, it just, you know, now I'm concerned about Wonder Woman.
I know. You want to lasso her up and make sure she's okay?
Yeah, I want to hold her Amazonian body like a baby, lasso her, and take her for a ride in an invisible jet. Or maybe a visible jet. Maybe she needs a visible jet.
Just
right
for
now.
Once to be seen.
Just for once to
as
not
the
be
person
seen.
She is.
To not look like she's sitting in a recliner in the sky.
Yeah. I agree with you, Rhea. I'm curious
what?
About...
What? Sorry, you just said that was such a...
Lindsay, play that again so we can make sure we just heard that.
I agree with you, Rhea.
What?
Can you play that on a loop at our wedding? And the first dance, I agree with you, Rhea. I agree with you, Rhea. I agree with you, Rhea.
And then a dip.
I agree with you, Rhea.
And by a dip, I was talking about French onion.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, mm-hmm. Ranch.
Mm-hmm. Ranch?
Yeah.
You don't like French onion dip?
No.
I don't either. We're perfect for each other. Yeah. Well, also, final thing. Game of Thrones back this week. I know it's a television show, but I feel like it kind of falls into this. Because it's such a massive property and it's in the kind of sci-fi-ish fantasy sphere that maybe we would cover if it was a movie. I just want to give it a shout out for being back. Last night I was watching Emilia Clarke act for the first time since seeing pictures of her as Sarah Connor and realizing that when you watch that show, you get to watch two Sarah Connors really hanging out in different spheres.
Hanging out really far away from each other.
Of the kingdoms, but knowing about each other, that's for sure. And I didn't watch like almost all of last season because I just got sick of watching people die. I think I'm probably going to see more of that this season. Ricky, are you still watching the show?
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't judge the season premiere of Game of Thrones because that first episode is always, hey, remember this person? They're still on the show. Hey, this is where so-and-so is now. And remember, they got to get over there. It's just a lot of them. It's like the whole episode is just one big reminder.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to start looking forward to these next ones now. Because now you're like, oh, yeah, that's right.
The first episode of every season of Game of Thrones is like unfolding the instructions to chess. Where you're like, wait, what goes where?
Yeah.
Who's it? What's that is guy? On that side of this thing? Yeah, it's
some
really...
dude showed up yesterday. Did you guys see it? I don't
know. Yes, we did.
The guy who shows up, who I guess has a haircut now. And he was just...
Oh, yeah.
I still kind of don't know who that is, but
my friends who I watched it with... blonde hair. They show him in the there's like a recap or whatever before the thing.
I watched
and
that.
And they show him.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah, so if you watch it again, yeah, he's like got longer blonde hair and he's like a little Weasley squirey guy.
Gotcha.
That's kind of at court. But I agree with you. It's... Oh, thanks, Game of Thrones. Are you going to, like, dye a dude's hair?
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Please don't.
I really would appreciate it.
If you don't remember that dude
listen,
from the
last
time
listen, if that red
saw...
woman shows up and she's not red, I will not know who she is.
How great is she?
She's pretty great.
She is scary.
I have to also point out, from a, I guess, cinematic point of view.
Oui.
I really enjoyed them using a flashback for Cersei to open the episode. Mm-hmm. I wish they had been using that the whole time.
Interesting.
Do you know how much?
Interesting.
I mean, there is so much information that they have to pack into these things, so I understand. But good God, I would have loved to have seen a couple other flashbacks before this point. Because what season is this?
Season five.
Five.
Do you ever want to see
just
them
seeing a flashback?
Like somebody gets killed, then they go and they reverse it.
Yeah,
they use that effect.
I definitely want to hear that effect.
Yeah, and then like his head goes back on his neck.
What was that movie with Dennis Quaid called Rewind?
Frequency?
Not that one. Where it's like a murder from it's an assassin,
flesh and bone
assassination attempt on the president.
Oh, what is
like,
that one?
Stop.
Oh.
Rewind that. And they like
God
showed that
it.
So many times.
Is it like four
Rewind.
Something?
It's anyway. Not.
By the way, nobody is losing their mind about how amazing my Rewind sound effect
Great
is.
Great job.
I haven't stopped playing it yet. I'm still like absorbing it. Whoa.
It's really good. The final thing that I want to say about Game of Thrones that's so fascinating to me, not the plot that's going on, but as the way that this show has changed television, number one, obviously massive budget and other shows are coming on board and other show. It's a proof of concept that you can spend this much money on TV and get a reward. It is the most watched HBO show of all time. Merchandising is insane. There's Game of Thrones toys and shirts and everywhere. It's a huge, huge hit. And it's shot like a movie with different directors shooting different portions of the same episode and then being put together in this like huge undertaking that we've never seen before. And something else that is unusual is that for this season, I was hearing that Emilia Clarke and also, I think John, no, I think, yeah, I think John Snow and
Kit
then.
Kit Harington?
Yeah, Kit Harington. And then also old one arm that has lost
Jamie Lannister.
And then also Cersei, Lena Headey, that they used collective bargaining to up all of their salaries, which is still really, I mean, the Friends did that on Friends.
Say, you want to make that Friends money. Make that
Friends
make that
on
Big
their Friends.
Bang Fairy money.
Other than that, that's very unusual. And especially for a show like this where so many characters like could just be killed off, or like it's awesome that they use their strength as actors to ask for the amount of money that I think they should be getting. When you're making a movie television show, it's okay with me if you're making movie salaries. That's how I feel about it. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but
yeah, they got to make that paper.
I mean, they film it on the wall. He's got to be living on the wall while they're filming that show. Give Kit Harington all that money.
I just feel like it's a ton of, it is, every one of those episodes is a movie. So they're earning their keep at the very least.
Kit Harington sounds like it should be Arya's real name.
Right.
The girl who plays Arya Stark, she should be Kit Harington.
I'll let her know.
Thank you. Would you please let her
know? We'll be back with a brand new pitch it right after this.
I listen to Bullseye to be cooler and more cultured than the people who don't know about Bullseye yet. Of course, then I tell them about Bullseye, so it doesn't usually work for very long.
Bullseye's your guide to what's good from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Welcome back to the show. Question for today on Wham Bam Pow. Is winter coming?
They need to get a hold of Dick Goddard.
I need a forecast for how far into fall. Like, are we in, what, is this June?
They might be
or
going,
is it September? Mm. Like, I gotta know how.
I remember in the first season, they were like talking.
Winter was coming then.
Yeah.
I know, but it's like a long, 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 long.
I know summer's long, winter's long. I get it. But like, when doth it approach?
When doth it approach?
All right.
Well, Lady Doth Rocky protest too much.
We are famous on this show for our segment called Pitch It, where Ricky and Rhea bring in their ideas. Ricky's throwing cheddar
and scripts
cheese into the air.
You hear it? Do you hear that?
This is our famous segment known the world over, where Ricky and Rhea bring in ideas, concepts, actors, television shows. They pitch them to me. I'm a famous Hollywood executive. Obviously, you know me from nothing. I'm behind the scenes. But I'm very rich, and I have the power to do whatever I want. So today I have asked Ricky and Rhea, in anticipation for the film that we are watching today, which is Bound, I have asked Ricky and Rhea to please bring in a very specific vehicle. Now, Christopher Maloney, we have loved him as a goofball in Wet Hot American Summer. We have loved him as an idiot in Bound. We have loved him as a Hard Knocks cop in Law & Order SVU. What a range on that guy. He's a regular Range Rover. And I have asked Rhea and Ricky to please bring in their pitch it of what Christopher Maloney should do next. Ricky, let's start with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here once again.
Great to see you. Did you get the only chocolate candies I sent you?
I
don't
did.
Send any other kind of candies.
I appreciate that.
Because I don't send garbage.
I also appreciated the candy corn.
Oh, it was all chocolate.
It was.
It was dipped in chocolate.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Now, I've been a fan of Christopher Maloney back from NYPD Blue, season 4, when he played, and I do have to check my notes for this, Jimmy Leary. And he, I mean, just one of the scariest, meanest sons of bitches that you'd seen on late night cop TV drama. And he had a very distinct haircut. And I know, Cameron, that you asked us to bring in what Christopher Maloney could do next based on his roles. I went the route of going based on hairstyles, previous hairstyles that Christopher
Maloney
has had.
I am so glad you went this direction.
Has had.
When you said he had a specific haircut, I was like, when has he not?
Thank you.
That's his whole thing.
He changes it up. He's the white man Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes, yes.
The white man Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, that's Samuel the best thing you've ever seen.
Yes. So I would like to see what Christopher Maloney does, what his hair would look like in a movie about hair. Yes. So I would like to see Christopher Maloney in Barbershop SVU.
Barbershop SVU.
Yes.
Has a crime been committed?
There is a crime has been committed, a fashion crime. Of the hair nature.
Is it particularly heinous? Particularly heinous?
Him along with his brother, who he often gets confused with in the real world, Elias Koteas. I'm dropping Elias Koteas in this movie for you, Cameron.
I know who that is.
Yeah, you do. They are brothers.
I know who that is because we watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles not even that long ago.
Casey Jones himself, shout out to him in the Thin Red Line. Him and Elias Koteas will be moving into a neighborhood in Chicago, maybe the one that Cedric the Entertainer and Ice Cube also have a barbershop in. And at first, they will be adversarial, trying to get the proper barbershop business, but then a crime is committed. And they will work together. People can come together at the end of this movie. Barbershop
now,
SVU.
Are they moving into like a traditionally black neighborhood?
Yes.
So there's race stuff going on in this as well. It's very
culture.
Topical.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think we really have to shine a light on what's happening right now in the world.
I mean, it takes place in Chicago, you know? So, I mean, we can't deny, you know, the city's culture, cultura. Landscape, you might say.
Yes. Now, how big a part will Rahm Emanuel play in it?
You know,
about 5'4".
I mean, he doesn't, you know, it's like not necessarily his area of focus. He's more like arts and culture, kind of upper crust.
Yes.
You know, like getting the Hollywood vote and like that kind of stuff. So, he's not necessarily like a barbershop guy. But,
right. I would be willing to go as far as maybe it's not Rahm Emanuel who's the mayor in this movie.
Great.
You know?
Is it the Bean?
The Bean. Maybe the Bean is the mayor in this movie. You know?
Imagine the Bean with a little monocle.
Absolutely. I mean, it's already majestic where it stands, where it lays.
Yep.
So people would come up to the Bean,
top hat on there.
Absolutely. Yep. Oh.
Now, is it a larger top hat than usual or just regular size top hat?
Regular.
I think the hat could change with the seasons, you know?
Ricky! Reggie!
It's Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, during the winter, you're going to expect this man to walk around with the top hat?
You're gonna need a bigger top hat.
Thank you.
I really like this idea.
Well, thank you.
Obviously, it appeals to several things. I love Chris Maloney.
Yep.
I love the idea of him touching people's heads. He's gorgeous. Touch whatever you want. Also, Chicago, our hometown. Love that. Throwing in there and then... You know, racial tensions.
Yes.
There's a lot.
There's comedy in it. Christopher Maloney is hilarious.
Oh, he's really funny.
Very funny. So I think he could handle
Ice
the drama.
Would Ice Cube be in this movie?
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
Cedric the Entertainer?
Absolutely.
I saw him one time on the street here in Los Angeles, and I saw.
I was.
What his hat look like?
Do you remember his hat?
I think he had like a white fedora.
Yeah, he did. You better have.
We were
there
just
was
like
a commotion around him. I was like, "What's going on?" And then I was like, "Oh, it's Cedric the Entertainer, entertaining."
And then we were like,
"Delicious."
Yeah, we did that.
That's the Entertainer, the song. You might know it if you guys were into a musical. Rhea, what have you brought in?
Ice cream trucks.
Anything. I know, it's not really from a musical.
That's the ice cream truck song.
All right, I should have said bomb pop. That would have been a better callback.
Rhea, you can take the floor. I will continue to eat some more of these candy corns.
So I myself am also a huge Christopher Maloney fan. I've enjoyed his work in Wet Hot American Summer. Enjoyed it in SVU. basically anything that he makes. Loved him in Bound.
I thought you were going to wait and then say the one thing you didn't like him in the end.
No, because I can't think of it.
Uh-huh.
So, my idea is to put him in a sort of a fun, action, gritty movie.
Oh.
If that's even possible.
Flirty too?
A little flirty. My idea is Christopher Maloney stars. James Wan directs. Casey Jones origins.
Wait a minute. Both these movies involve Casey Jones?
Yes. Both these movies. He just talked about the actor
I was alluding to Casey Jones.
I assume that Elias Kazan would be playing Casey Jones, who also happens to be Christopher Maloney's
Maybe this is the handoff, exactly the passing of the hockey stick torch.
Casey Jones origins. Now, Rhea, I know you know them so well. Walk me through the origin of Casey Jones. His origins.
He goes to a Woolworths.
Woolworths.
And buys some sweatpants.
From Woolworths?
Yep.
The store that still exists?
The store that still exists. This is an origin story.
Oh, okay.
So it's from a while ago.
Can you explain to me what origins means one more time?
So he goes
from where you originate,
Woolworths, and he gets some sweatpants.
And in finding the sweatpants, he sees a sale on sports equipment.
Uh huh.
Picks up some cheap sports equipment. Heading out to his van, he is attacked and must defend himself with said sports equipment. He does defend himself, is not mugged, and then decides, this is what I'm going to do. There you go.
So there's no, like, beat down and nothing happens to him. He's not, like, dead and back to life or licked by a cat or anything?
No, he doesn't get licked by a hockey stick or anything like that.
He's not licked by a hockey stick?
No. There's a lot of training montages. There's a talking soup can at one point.
Ah.
You know, just all the major plot points. We're going to have Mariska Hargitay playing April. O'Neill. Yes, I'm just taking a timeline and just splicing it up and putting whatever I want wherever I want, mostly.
So, it's like origins, but then he ends up
also? But then also at the same time.
So it's like also there. Finale?
Yes.
It's like origins and finale?
Finale, yes.
May I ask a question?
No.
Damn.
Ricky, you have the floor. What's a question?
Who will be voicing the was it a can?
The can?
The talking
soup can.
The talking soup can? James Earl Jones.
Rhea, you seem so nervous right now.
What? No,
just your body language.
I'm not nervous.
Okay, I just didn't know.
I feel really good about this pitch.
It is really
good. This is my favorite pitch of all my pitches.
Honestly.
Clearly.
I thought I knew what I was going to do. When I heard Ricky's pitch, I was like, that's it. But
mine has confused
heard
you.
Rhea's pitch, I don't know what to do.
I thought for sure you'd be like, definitely the barbershop one.
Really?
Yeah. Barbershop SVU?
I'm not saying barbershop SVU isn't great. I just think Casey Jones Origins, it's decent, you know?
It's decent.
I am going to have to go with barbershop SVU.
I mean, I figured I didn't put much time into this.
At the barbershop.
I just thought the idea of Casey Jones' origins would be good enough. I didn't think you'd make me explain it.
But how? I can't believe you just admitted that now. Because you did it perfectly.
I already lost. So
I should get a three-picture deal now based on that statement.
Yeah, you can have all of Rhea's pictures.
Word!
I'm showing my seams a little bit. I don't care.
Well, we will be back with a review of Bound right after this. I can't believe the unprofessionalism in this office.
Hello, buddies. I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Andy Bolt.
And we're the host of Bunker Buddies.
We're a podcast where we're amateur survivalists and we talk about things like the apocalypse.
And we talk about zombies and preparedness.
What are you going to wear when it's the apocalypse?
And you have no idea if you don't listen to our show. It comes out every Wednesdays on MaximumFun.org and on iTunes. Sometimes we try weird foods or we talk about where to camp or how to avoid getting eaten or any of these things.
Yeah, so listen to us because it might just save your life.
We'll see you in the bunker.
Bye.
Oh. Hello, Sam. Sammy. How has it been? Sammy.
And we're back. Rhea bringing us in with her famous Carol Channing impression.
Sammy.
Now's the time in the show when we give you a brief review of a dick flick. This week we chose Bound, which is currently on Netflix. Watch it. Spoilers do follow. And I want you guys to know, if you haven't seen this movie, you can still listen to the show. It's not going to ruin the movie for you if you get spoiled. But this is one of my top of the entire show. Of every movie we've ever done, this is one of Cameron's top Netflix recommendations. So easy to watch it. It's at your house. And you cannot go wrong with this movie. You cannot go wrong with this movie. It's sexy. It's fun. It's short. It is not a long movie. You can get it in on a night after work. It's like that kind of movie. Fast, seamless.
Furious.
Damn.
Yeah. I really recommend
jump in there,
Ricky. I was picking at my thumb. I started getting happy. I was like, my thumb. And then
you got happy about your thumb.
Yeah, I got a thumb. Woo! And then boom, I saw it go by. I drove by.
It's opposable.
They gave me two of them.
This movie stars Gina Gershon.
When I announced the two
leads names, just some sort of response, like a ooh. I'll start with the two dudes that I'm gonna have name recognition. So Chris Maloney's in this movie.
Woo!
Yep.
Joey Pants Pantaleone or whatever the heck his last name actually is.
Guido, the killer pimp.
Fucking dark in here.
Yeah. Also, this movie stars Gina Gershon.
Woo!
Okay.
And Jennifer Tilly.
Woo!
Yeah, I do.
And Jennifer Tilly. I was just saying.
I will say, her voice totally works for me.
Ricky can't even
shit.
Say it.
I mean, yeah.
this is
no wonder Chucky took her as his bride. Am I right?
Okay.
Is the perfection of the character that Jennifer Tilly does.
Yeah.
I think. This is like the epitome of that character.
I know. This movie.
This is its best use.
I wanted to give Jennifer Tilly all my money so she could bet it in her poker game.
Because I used to watch, shout out to the movie, High Spirits.
Which one is that one?
Steve Guttenberg, Peter O'Toole.
Oh my God.
Also Liam Neeson.
Wow.
Beverly D'Angelo, I believe. Peter... Damn it.
Stop naming people. What's it about?
Doesn't matter. They go to a haunted castle that's fake haunted.
Wait, you showed
me
this.
Yes, I did, the preview when we were at somebody's house. But it ends up being actually haunted.
Whoa.
Jennifer Tilly's in it, and there's a scene where she and Peter Gallagher is his name, fall into like
old eyebrows.
Old while you were sleeping.
OC
Peter
eyebrows, I call him.
American Beauty eyebrows.
Misha Barton's daddy.
There's a moment.
It's not her dad. It's the other one, Adam Brody.
Stop naming things. And there's a moment where you can see Jennifer Tilly's breasts.
Ooh.
And I was at a slumber party when we saw this movie of all girls, and we rewound it at least 30 times.
That's
What's
great.
What's she doing that you can see her breasts?
She falls into the water, and she's like wearing a dress. And you know how water makes things move around, and like her boobs
You can see
pop
them
out.
Naked?
Yeah. Just like briefly, but we were like, hang on. And
so
we rewound
she
it.
She
like
agreed to
times.
A topless scene where she falls into the water and
no,
then her
I
dress falls
I don't think
falls
it was off. On purpose. What I'm saying is it was accidental.
But she would have to know it's in there.
I think this can all be solved by us
to...
watching High Spirits
yeah,
next
I agree,
week.
I, agree. I don't think we need to get legal into this. You could just be like, oh, cool.
I just want to make sure she was protected.
Oh, God.
Now, I have no problem talking about Jennifer Tilly's breasts.
I feel like the budget on that movie was $50.
We do see them in this movie, though, too. Actually, not really. Just
no.
Gina Gershon's. Huh. Which are also nice.
Did you guys freeze frame? I'm not saying I did, but if you did, I did.
The way that you said freeze frame, you freeze frame.
What are you talking about?
Y'all freeze frame?
Did y'all freeze frame? Y'all freeze frame that, right?
Y'all freeze
I mean, no.
Y'all freeze frame for this.
I was going to text you guys. I said, are you guys freeze framing this? I should have texted you.
Yeah. Snapchat it to me.
Now, Ricky, I'm glad you noticed that you should freeze frame this movie because one thing that's so great about this movie is the sex choreography is by noted sex educator Susie Bright. It's hot. They do a good job.
Did they really get a sex educator?
Yes. She, wow. like, she, you know, there's a scene where Corky, Gina Gershon's character, like, goes to a bar and she's like, I'm not, she's like,
yeah.
I'm not here for a job. I'm just here to fuck. Or, like, whatever.
I just want to get laid.
Yeah, I ramped it up a little notch.
Just a little.
But then she walks over and there's, like, a woman in a leather outfit and she, like, goes over and is like, hey, and then.
That girl, yeah.
That chick that's sitting down is Susie Bright, who choreographed.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Also, this film is financed by Dino De Laurentiis, who like is notorious for financing a lot of bombs or odd movies. He also happens to be Giada's granddaddy, so
yeah.
That's where she came from. But also,
if I'm not mistaken, he funded a lot of David Lynch's movies?
Dune. David Lynch's Dune.
Failure Dune.
Yes. But also, this movie is made for the estimates that I saw. I couldn't find like the exact number because I saw two different things. One was $4 million, one was $6 million. Either way, tight budget, yeah. Small budget on this movie, and a 38-day shoot. So fast, tight. I think this is a movie where they are using every cent well. I'm so impressed with the camera work in this movie. And Rhea has said this in the past. I don't remember if she said this on the show last week. But this movie is like the proof of concept that the Wachowskis, who directed it, used to get funding to make The Matrix. And it's weird because the movies could not be more different. Like, this is a noir. They looked to Sin City. They read Sin City to, like, think about how they want to style their movie. It's very small and tight, and then of course The Matrix is like huge and big and they are using tons of stunts, but the camera work is the same, you know, like they use a lot of like sweeping shots where they don't need to, and they come around a lot of corners
this
and
is...
there's even like almost a moment of bullet time.
I thought that it reminded me a lot of The Matrix while I was watching it.
Yes.
Specifically, like you said, with the camera sweeping shots, they both start off with like crazy credit sequences.
Yep.
Corky has like the kind of like Neo look mold, just like this like
she
white
does.
Character with like short black hair.
She also looks like leather. Trinity. Yeah. Like
yeah,
they,
I mean,
they,
yeah,
also,
it
they
just,
all kind of. It's weird how different the movies are
and
with.
Exactly.
It's like they're in the same universe.
Exactly. Yeah. Like a lot of like the street, like the few times that they're out on the street, it looks like the few times that they're out on the street in The Matrix. The score is very similar.
It's like perfect. Like they keep everything looking perfect, but like used. Like
mm-hmm.
It looks lived in, but it's like impeccable. Like there's only like one car parked on the street. You know, like it.
Yeah.
Their whole thing is that it looks like it's all. A set,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah, it looks
some of it isn't, some of it isn't, but not in a bad way. Like it looks deliberately a set. Or
yeah, it looks kind of like theatrical because everything takes.
That's
place.
That's the word I'm looking for. Yes, it looks like a theater.
Yeah.
Exactly, that's exactly right.
Everything takes place in so much of like one specific like location. It's like when you go see a play and you're just like, yep, that back wall is the whole living room.
You're right.
Your mind just like makes that switch.
This
you know?
Could be a play.
Yeah.
Like, this could be a play.
I think one. One theme that carries out throughout all of the Wachowskis' work, even including Cloud Atlas, which is their most sprawling work in terms of locations and all those things, mm-hmm. is that they are very much about the duality of life, right? That there's an outside world and there's an inside world.
Yes.
So in this movie, and then also I would say the first Matrix, obviously, there is the world that we live in, and then there's the world that we exist in. You know, and I love in this movie how simple they make it. Like daytime, like that line, it's fucking dark in here. That he is not just talking about the room that they're in. He's actually talking about them being together is in the dark because that's where you have to be. Because this is 1996. So you can't really live 100% out and proud.
Well, we should let's talk about. Remember,
and can I also say about the cinematography of this movie that I
let
see?
Let me just give a little bit of, can I just to,
because you were just
to
talking
bounce
about,
off, just, okay, sure.
I can just see like a little bit of David Fincher in this, and because of David Fincher, also some Michael Mann influence in this. Like I see a lot of Thief in there and then some, anyway.
I just want to quickly say what the movie is about, just because it seemed like the right time with
Beautiful.
What you were talking about, which is that it's about, an ex-con played by Junior Gershon who starts doing work in an apartment building.
Every time I hear Junior Gershon.
Mm. Starts doing some work in an apartment building, strikes up a friendship which becomes quickly a romantic relationship with another woman who lives in the building. That woman happens to be dating a mobster, and they decide to plan a heist together to steal $2 million from the mob and pin it on the on Jennifer Tilly's boyfriend. And so here's where the spoilers come in. They successfully do so. Like, it is a long, it's a, not long, it's their plan goes a little bit awry. There's definitely some complications, but they, two women, make something happen for themselves, and they, the final scene of this movie is amazing.
It's quite possibly one of the best final scenes in a movie.
I completely agree with you. Yeah, I love it. I mean, but I love, Ricky, what do you think? So we're, I hope that my, I don't have blinders on.
Okay.
Because I think this movie deals with gay women in such an interesting way. Like, this is a good movie, right?
This,
I mean,
is
you
a good
are
movie.
A straight dude.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You don't have, this movie doesn't have to, it's not like about representing your community.
No, no, this,
this,
this
is a great movie,
this
right?
is a great fucking movie. Yeah, 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 yeah. And I haven't,
what do you like about it?
All the things that we talked about in particular before, the connections to The Matrix, because The Matrix was so huge, I think people either don't know Bound exists or they just forgot about it. So anytime we see a movie post-Matrix, we always go, oh yeah, it's just like The Matrix. And it's just like, man, these guys already had such an idea of the kind of movies they wanted to make, and you can see it in that first movie right away.
Yeah.
Like, these guys want to talk about duality. These guys have a very specific visual style. These guys like genre movies. It's a noir movie, but it's not a noir movie where it like beats you over the head. You know, like, it just, you can just tell when you're watching it. Like, everything here is a very calculated decision. It's so fucking great. And specifically, I mean, are we doing like the best parts?
No, we'll get there
or just
in a
like
second.
Overall,
but yeah, just overall, that was a good. That's a good answer.
Those are things that I really enjoy. And I will, I mean, full disclosure, the first time I saw this movie, I was like, I think both of those women are hot, and I will watch a movie about just these two fucking women being hot. But then, like, watching it now, I really just, like, sunk in, like, goddamn, this is a, I think Roger Ebert, when he first reviewed it, was like, we need to pay attention to who the fuck these dudes are, because this movie's, like, the real deal.
Yes.
And, like, watching it now, I was just like, yeah, these, you could tell, oh, these guys are going to make good movies for a long time.
Yeah, and I do think it's important right now to also mention that this movie was made at a time when they were the Wachowski brothers, and that is no longer the case. And I think one thing that, for me, that speaks to me as a person about all their movies as well is that, and I've said this before when we've reviewed their other movies, like Jupiter Ascending, I don't think I deserve to know a lot about Lana Wachowski's story or like what she's up to every day in her life right now. But I'm glad that I know something about her. I'm glad that I know that she transitioned and that she decided to be public about that, because I think that it makes their movies so much more interesting, because like you were saying, Rhea, so many of their movies are about like the duality between outside and inside, or the things that we do to survive, or the ways that we try to get by, or how we figure out who we are, or what we're connected to, or what our existence really is. And these are all questions that, like, I think Lana was working out as an artist before maybe she was working out in her personal life, or at the same time that she was working it out mentally. And I also love that she has a brother that she collaborated with who this did not affect the same way. Like, he didn't end up being a trans person and he didn't transition, but clearly they were close enough, and because they're siblings, they were able to work together. Like, it just gives me a lot of hope about the way families could see each other and the openness that families, because I don't think these movies were just Lana's vision. I think, like, they worked together and they created these movies about this thing. And the fact that, like, a straight dude and a trans woman could feel the same way about something and make movies together is, like, it just gives me a lot of hope for the direction that we're all going as people. And I think that their movies are some of the best movies about sexuality without always being about sexuality. I mean, that all of their movies that like speak to this essence of what we are and what we're trying to figure out, that like everybody's trying to figure out right now, like not just trans people, not just queer people, not just gay people, but like we're all trying to figure out, like we get married later and we get divorced more often and we do and don't have kids and women work and like families look so different. We're all trying to figure out what our place is in the world right now. And that's what all their movies are about. And so I will go see their movies as long as they keep making them.
For sure.
Because I'm so happy that they are making movies, because I think they're speaking to this time right now when we're all trying to figure out what the fuck is going on and who we are in this way that, like, most directors are not speaking to me that way. So that's my big piece about that. I think it's extremely important. I, like, love that they are making stuff. And this is, I think, their best movie.
And I think it's, Ricky, you kind of touched on this. Like, I think it's a disservice to this movie that it was sort of put out at a time when movies like Wild Things were happening, and it got sort of, I think, put in that category of like, ooh, NC-17, or I don't think it got that rating.
Or like an Ally McBeal ratings.
Yeah. Because I remember, for example, I was 14 probably when this movie came out, and I remember my mom being like, ugh, you know, because like the teasers, everything was just about, oh, it's two women having sex with each other. Come see this movie that's about two women having sex with each other. And that's not what the movie is about. The movie is about so many other things. And it has, like, actual realistic portrayals of women having sex with each other.
Yeah.
And it's in, like, the first 20 minutes.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. I totally
get
it. I will say,
though, people coming to it now that might have that in the back of their mind, like, don't think that this is some, like, I'm trying to.
I got the vibe from it. It's like when I think to myself, like, I would love to see a movie with all Latinos that isn't about the struggle of being Latinos. It's just like, all right, this is the world that they live in. We're watching the world that they live in.
Right.
I don't need it to be like, it's everything is matter of fact. Like you said, in the first 20 minutes, they're already hollering at each other. Okay, and I mean, you don't feel like they're walking your like holding your hand through it or anything.
Yeah.
It's just like it's appreciated when the story is, I just am accepting the information you're giving me.
Corky goes into a lesbian bar, and I said to Cameron, I was like, oh, I've been to that bar. It looks very real and feels very
those
real.
Those are real lesbians.
Those are
in that movie.
Real lesbians.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
Those
several
are Susie Bright's friends.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not kidding. She brought her friends. She brought her like dyke friends, and that's who's in there. Well, I understand what you're saying, Rhea, but I will say another thing that I think this movie has going for it that I really like is that the women are hot, and
for sure
that they also like skate this really interesting line between being like a little bit butch and a little bit femme, like both of them do. Even Jennifer Tilly's character, who's like couldn't be more girly, has like some toughness to her and like the deepness of her voice. I think I agree with you that it probably got swept up in the, like, where like a couple might not have picked this movie out at the Blockbuster together because they probably didn't want to seem pervy. Like, I could see this movie falling into that category because
of
the
like
way it was.
Or like 17-year-olds being like, I'm going to rent this because I can, you know?
But
like,
I like that it's
I'm not
sexy.
Saying that I was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my voice sounded a little different than
little
that 17.
Different.
A little bit different.
But I mean, I think that's great is what I'm saying.
No, I'm
like,
not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm just talking
I think
about
it's
the
cool.
External part of it.
Yeah.
And people being like, I don't want, that's not a, because I think when something is like perceived as exploitive or like Antichrist, the movie Anti, you know, it's like, oh, it's all about this one thing. And then people don't look at the movie.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is that I think this movie does as a service because it keeps things sexy. And then they also end up with each other.
Absolutely.
And I like that. And I actually think that like gay men could really benefit from a movie like this, where like women went to go see, you know, women saw Magic Mike. It's like 1 centimeter away from them making out with each other. Like, I think there's women that could get turned on by the idea of like two hot dudes that they would be interested in sleeping with, making out and then ending up together. Like, what is cool about this movie is that It doesn't diminish their sexuality, and they are hot, and it is hot, and you don't get to have it. Anybody. Like, yeah. Nobody gets to have it. Not dudes, not even, like, chicks that are watching. Nobody does. Just each other. And I love that. Like, yeah. I think that's really great.
And
so.
Jennifer Tilly's take on the femme fatale in this movie is brilliant. What
well,
she does with it.
I totally could talk about this all day, every day, for the rest of my life. Rhea, what is the worst part of this movie?
I mean, I don't actually have a worst part. My worst part would be there's not enough diversity in the cast.
Okay. So. Ricky, worst part.
Yeah, I mean it's a very white movie. oof. But you know what? Actually and this is what we were saying like in the through lines with The Matrix and all their other movies. They do like whoever's house that she's taking care of. That guy goes back to India.
His name's Rajiv. There's a black cop also. I mean they like work it in where they can.
They do. And it was in the second sequel to The Matrix where people were like, hey, what's the deal with them, these guys doing this? Do they like, are they like just trying to be like quote unquote down? But then like I'm watching Bound last night, and right away that character is introduced in a film noir. Just hearing that name.
Sure, yeah.
Never hear a name like
good
that
point, Ricky.
In a movie of
great
that genre. That just doesn't
I had the
happen.
Same
so
response.
I was like, right away, my ears just pricked up. Like, oh, okay. So you guys even had this idea way back then. Like, we're gonna show you a whole different kind of world. So that's my worst
that's
part.
That's your worst.
That's
part.
My worst part.
Yeah.
You guys
hard to
stop
find a
being
worst
so,
part in this movie.
It's a tight,
sound
lean
design is good.
Movie
cinematography is good.
Yeah. Joey,
costume design.
I think my worst part is that. Originally, Jennifer Tilly was supposed to play Corky, and Linda Hamilton was
what?
Thought about
wow.
as possibly being Violet. And
weird.
Then when Gina Gershon became available, then Jennifer Tilly said to the Wachowskis, I think actually we should switch roles. I think she'd be a better Corky, and then they play. So my point is, my worst part is I'm going to steal something from Rhea that she said while we were watching it, and when I found that piece of trivia out, my worst part is that I don't get to see both movies where also they swap roles and play opposite Corky and Violet. I'd love to see that movie too. Rhea, what's the best part of this movie?
So many best parts of this movie.
Pick just one.
I can't, though. I have two. Very short.
Pick two.
Real quick.
You pick two from Panera Bread.
I love the involvement of men in this movie. I love where they're at in this movie as, like, the cops, as the gangsters. And I love Charlie. I love that.
Mickey.
Mickey. Sorry. Wrong name. Whatever.
Mickey.
Doesn't matter. I love that guy. I love
his
character. I love that he is, like, in love with Jennifer Tilly, with Violet, in, like, a very real way. And she is also, like, kind to him, and he is kind to her. That take, at the that scene at the end when he, like, when she kisses him and then he wants to kiss her back so bad, and he, like, tries to and then he holds back. That is, like, just, like, a beautiful moment. And so it's this movie about lesbians with some great, terrible men and also redeeming men that don't get what they want.
Of men.
You know, like I love that about them. It's not just like, oh, all the dudes are terrible, and or all the dudes are great, and they're like.
I would also argue the women aren't great.
Right.
Like nobody's.
It's a noir. They're all shady characters.
Yeah,
they're all shady characters.
Bad. And then my other best part is the last interchange of lines in the movie is. Maybe the best ending to a movie I've ever seen. Because when Corky
Rhea,
says,
like
I love this movie. When Corky says to Violet, do you know the difference between me and you? And Corky says, no. And she says, me neither. And they leave fucking beautiful. And I never say fucking on this show. It's a beautiful line. It's beautiful.
It's two different types of women saying that they are the same.
Yes.
And that is pretty
amazing.
And
Gina Gershon's portrayal of like, a butch woman is spot on.
She does a great job.
Great job.
I will
great.
Say she does a great job.
Great
and job. She made this movie like This is right after Showgirls, which is also fascinating. Like 1 year. I mean, maybe they were, I have no idea. Maybe they were shooting consecutively. I have no idea. Or at the same time. Concurrently is the word I'm looking for. I don't know. But yeah, that was like 95. This is 96. So she went from like Showgirls to white dirty tank top in 1 year. Ricky, what's the best part of this movie?
Everybody is, I wouldn't say everybody, but it's a noir film, so it's a genre movie. So the characters are very much like, I mean, Jennifer Tilly, she's like a femme fatale. The character's almost like exaggerated. But then there's a really great scene when Joey Pants is just freaking out because the money's gone and he doesn't know what to do and he keeps yelling at Jennifer Tilly. He just keeps yelling. I think he's telling her like he needs to, like, think. He's just telling her, like, to be quiet. He just needs to think. And it just gets, like, so real. Like, he's not being, like, the gangster, like, over the top. Like, you can just tell, like, I'm probably going to die tonight unless you give me time to think. And then when the movie just, like, slows down like that, I'm like, oh, yeah, this shit is... It just goes from being, like, a genre movie for, like, those 2 minutes being like, oh, yeah, and this is how high the stakes are. And then it kind of settles back into, like, it's... stylized mode, and I really like that little window that we get right there.
That's a really good point.
Because he's kind of he's so much like a supporting actor. Like, all right, here's like your 2 minutes to shine to show people what you can do if you're a fan of Joey Pants, which I have been.
And who is
since
not?
Midnight Run, we got the Duke.
Gina Gershon recommended him for this movie. That's how he
was
got
that right?
the role. Yeah,
I saw him in Chicago once when I was waiting to go to the movies.
Oh my god!
He like walked in. He was wearing this. This cream, it was like a linen trench coat and like a cream Kango turned around to the back. I was like,
you know what other movie he's great in? The Fugitive.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's Joey Pantoliano.
Well, I think my best part is the supporting cast. This is like the whole cast, just ensemble cast. That's what I mean. Everybody, the casting is brilliant. I mean, either the Wachowskis, like, just nailed it, or they got lucky, or they got, like, I think everybody is doing a great job playing the role that they were given. So this movie is, but I also, the writing is really good.
Tight.
It's
lean,
really good.
Short.
I was just talking, we were just talking to our friend, we had dinner with our friend Kurt Bronner, who you know, and I was, like, recommending this movie, but saying, like, you know, because I know that his wife, Lauren, is writing some stuff right now. And I was like, this is what you should be watching if you're writing. Because if you're writing and this is an example of a movie where you're just like, because like Alien is one of my favorite movies because it's so tight and there's nothing wasted. But there, you can't necessarily be like, watch Alien for the writing. It'll be like the tension, you know, when she's not looking around the corner, but there's an alien around the corner.
Can you hear
the
it off
writing
the paper?
On that? Yeah, no. But this is a movie that you should be watching if you're at all interested in writing. I was watching it, going like, I was just mad at myself. I just mad at myself for not being capable of this. So yeah, Rhea, I think I know the answer to this, but. Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5 well-choreographed sex scenes, how many well-choreographed sex scenes do you give this movie?
I give it 5 well-choreographed sex scenes.
Ricky, scale of 1 to 5 perfectly written screenplays, how many perfectly written screenplays do you give Bound?
I will give this the rare 5 perfectly written screenplays.
Wow,
and I have a new worst part. More perfectly choreographed sex scenes in your movie, please, Wachowski.
I mean,
come on.
I agree.
Come on.
And I am giving Bound 5 out of 5 gorgeous camera angles. They really hit those camera angles.
Camera angle where Corky like has to like run. She like it's near the end when they're like kind of fighting for the gun or something. There's one where she like runs right up to the camera and her foot goes right in front of it. That scene is just like on a loop in my brain right now.
So is this might be? We need to go check. This might be our only 15. Have we?
I think we've had a 15.
They're
I can't
very
what
rare.
It was called.
Very rare.
Wow.
Did we give Edge of Tomorrow? I think Edge of Tomorrow might have been.
We might have given it a 15.
Might have been 15.
Wow. I mean, this
not
is
the Lego
it's rare.
Movie, right?
No,
I don't think Ricky gave it a 5. So yeah. Anyway, wow. Wowzers.
The rare 15.
Put an asterisk next to this one.
So what are you thinking about this week, Ricky? What do you got going on?
Oh, I gotta check my notes because I have heard the dopest song, and I want to make sure this dude gets. I was on Spotify. You guys need to get on this thing called Spotify. Oh, it's so good. It's so good, Spotify.
Oh, the music is on there?
Indeed. But I was listening to this mix, and I Shazammed it, and the song is on Spotify, and it's so goddamn dope. It's called Be Right There by Brother of Soul, and it's on this album called Only. Just one word, Only. And, I mean, if I would say, listen to this song on a Sunday morning after you've gotten, like, just beautiful sex the night before, or, like, if you're going to church on that morning, because it's just that perfect mix of, like, goddamn, this thing, thank you, and, or I can't wait to what's going to happen next.
So it's church sex.
Oh, so good. Good Sunday sex. House church sex. Spiritual. All up in you.
Rhea.
In your guts.
Rhea.
Yes.
What do you think about this week?
This week, I am thinking about a documentary that I watched on Netflix called The Battered Bastards of Baseball, which is a documentary about Bing Russell, father of Kurt Russell, who in the 70s bought an independent baseball team, the Portland Mavericks, and it's just a story of putting that team together. And if you are a baseball fan, you will love it. And if you like good documentaries, you will love it because it's really well done. There's a lot of Kurt Russell talking about his dad. It's just really great. And it really highlights the things that I love about baseball, which is that basically anyone can play it, and it's America's game. So check that out. I love baseball so much.
I know, Rhea.
I am falling back in love with it, and I'm
let's
sorry.
Let's go to a game.
I know.
I haven't been to a baseball game in 3 years since
I'm
I left Chicago.
I'm going to an Angels game to see
let's
the
go.
Cleveland Indians play the Angels in August, for sure. That's
you are?
Yeah. We're going.
Great.
And then we go to a Dodgers game.
Yeah, I just want to see some baseball. It's been too long.
Yeah,
I'm freaking out.
Let's go to Dodger Stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. I love it.
Let's make it happen. Absolutely. And also, you know, I'll give you that, Rhea. Rhea and I bought baseball mitts over the weekend because Rhea's playing on a team now. And I've only ever played softball. I've never played baseball before. So softball mitts are like enormous and my mitts at home and I'm an adult. I haven't like used it since I was a child, so I don't even know if my hand's the same size. Like the pocket might be too teeny for what my hand is now. So we got baseball mitts. We've been playing catch in the driveway, and I will say it has been wonderful to play. Like, because I've played like basketball more recently, but this is definitely something from my youth, like something I haven't done in a long time. So cheers to that. You know, it's about to be summer for everybody that doesn't live in Los Angeles, and if it's not summer all year round, I would just recommend getting out there and trying to toss a ball around. You will last for 10 minutes because your arm is old and you're going to get wacky after that.
Nolan Ryan. That's
you're going to throw
sure.
real wild and you'll have to take a break. My arm hurts so bad right now, but it's been a blast and I can't wait to spend the rest of the summer doing that. Ricky, you got to get your mitt. We'll go up to Griffith Park.
I'm down with that.
Toss it around.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
So next week we are watching, or actually next week we are off because my family's in town.
Boom.
And I am taking a week off
Espositos.
To hang out with my family. So we will be back the week after. We will see Ex Machina, which is in theaters right now in Los Angeles. I think nationwide it might have a little bit of a later rollout, but here in Los Angeles, it's happening now. We'll let you know whether or not you should see it when it comes to your town. Until then, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And I am Rhea Butcher.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlos. Thank you, Lindsay. Maximum Fun, thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.